You're listening to a Kix Productions podcast. For more information and content, visit kixtv.com.
Genesis 1, 14 through 15 is my opening scripture. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let these lights be for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. And let them be lights to give light upon the earth." And it was so. So these lights were for signs, seasons, days, years to give light upon the earth. Today, the sun, the stars, and the moon are still what defines our time, our days, our years, our seasons. And they are for signs. And they were established by the word of God. And God said, which is a revealing of a spoken word. And it is a revealing that he has set time and signs in our lives. He set time and signs in our lives. He set them in the heavens. So the title of what I want to talk about tonight is "The Star Speaks." Genesis 1:16 says, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also." So that tells me that he has a reason, that he has set things into motion. Everything he does is for a reason. And he said in Genesis that these lights were for signs, for seasons, for days, for years. And he made the stars also. Psalm 147 verse 4 says, "He tells the number of the stars, and he calls them all by their names." He tells the number of the stars, and he has a name for every one of them. And they are for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. In Jeremiah 31:35, the Lord says, "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divides the sea when the waves therefore roar. The Lord of hosts is his name." The Lord of hosts, Jesus, is the reason. Jesus is his name. And here we see that the ordinances of the moon and the stars are for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. And Genesis 1:17-18 said, "And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." So these stars and these lights are set for signs and seasons and days and years. He calls them by name, and he divides the light from the darkness with them. And the word of God tells us that Jesus is the bright and morning star. He's called him by name. So I feel the star at Christmas divided the light from the darkness. And his star spoke and still speaks to the world. And Jesus is the bright and morning star, the light of the world. So the sign that God set in the sky and the season and the day and the years was established by his spoken word. And he set a sign in the sky at Christmas, which actually was, I believe, years after his birth, the birth of Jesus. But it was for a sign and a season and a day and a year. And the bright and morning star, Jesus, is a sign and a season and a day and a year. It says that he never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that sign that he is called by name. divides the light from the darkness and brings the light to the world. So this Christmas, as we celebrate this season, I want to talk about the spoken word, his faith to men. Jesus, the reason. I believe that 2017, the holidays are speaking. Jesus is the reason. Jesus, the reason. That old saying, Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, Jesus is the reason, but I believe he brings a new season. Because his star, the star, is a sign, a season, a day, and a year. And in God, there's seasons. The word season is moed, the Hebrew word for it. It means an appointed place, an appointed time, appointed meeting, tent of meeting, a sacred season, a set feast, the Passover. There were seasons. But one of the key definitions of that Greek word, that Hebrew word, is appointed sign or signal. So there is an appointed sign and signal. That's a season. So let them be for signs and for seasons, days and years. A day is just 1,000 years in the Lord. The star speaks. One star speaks many things. I believe he called the Bethlehem star by name. And God himself, the Father, set it into motion. And there were people who saw it. They were wise men. One star speaks. Genesis 22, 16 through 18 says, and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son," he's talking to Abraham, "that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." This is a multiplied blessing here. What is that seed? Why did God call Abraham? Because there was a sign and an appointed time, a signal. He multiplied the seeds as his seed as the stars of the heaven. In this blessing will I bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed. Who is the seed of Abraham? The Jewish nation is established here, but it was established for a purpose. Let's call the Jewish nation a star, established for a sign, a season, days and years, that the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, would come forth in a season, the season of his appointed time, that he would be the seed that God multiplies as the stars of heaven. And that we are in him, grafted in Abraham. That this blessing that we are blessed with, and this multiplying we are multiplied with, the blessing of Abraham, and how that our seed, the multiplication of God's people in the earth, the multiplication of you, the multiplication of the world, go into all the world. Because in this seed shall all the nations and all the earth be blessed. He is the first fruit, and we are in him. Because thou hast obeyed my voice, multiplied blessing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." The star is speaking. Herod the king had heard these things. He was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. You know, we hear this story, and we think about Herod. But the entire, all of Jerusalem, the entire nation was troubled. "For we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." And when Herod heard this, the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. All of Jerusalem. There is a people here that saw something. It was set in motion. It was a sign, a season, days, and years. And it was an appointed time. And when they saw it, when those wise men saw it, and they followed that star, and the star was speaking to them, they said, "We are come to worship." It brought such a ruckus. It brought such a movement. Herod made such a ruckus that he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together. It goes on. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people, this is verse 4, together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. It caused so much trouble because these wise men followed and heard the star speaking. That all of Jerusalem was troubled, and Herod was troubled. Stirred up the devil and the people. So much so, he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together. This was the beginning here. This is the chief priests and the scribes. They never did resolve that. The star spoke. How did they hear the star? What did they hear? Their influence obviously was with Herod. And at that moment, all of Jerusalem is troubled. Troubled by the prophecy. I would think they would be excited. Because the star is speaking. The star spoke so loud that Herod and all of Jerusalem heard it. But they heard it from a different way. Because to the wise men, from the beginning, the star announced him. And through the Father, through God himself, who said in Genesis, way back, chapter 1, the very first chapter of the Bible, God said, these signs, I mean, these lights in the heavens will be for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. So from the beginning, the star announced him. From the beginning, the wise men followed the star. From the beginning, the plot against him began. The Son of God, the baby, the incarnate Word of God, he came with a purpose of love and freedom. He was born with purpose because the star was speaking. The prophecy was speaking. God set that natural star in the heavens, and he used nature, and he brought that star at the moment, at the season, at the appointed time that he had wanted it. Just like when the earth quaked at Jesus' death. He holds all of heaven and earth in his hands. He is the one who spoke it into existence. People, in Romans chapter 1, it talks about people worshiping creation rather than the creator. It is not pantheism or naturalism or nature, Mother Nature, or all of these things bringing purpose and definition. It's the creator of all things that made these things for signs and seasons and days and years. And he is the incarnate Word of God. And from the beginning, the star has announced him. Can you imagine? You know, we have this tradition that we think these three kings came in. We three kings of Orion are. And we've heard it said, there's hundreds of kings. I don't know how many kings there were, but there weren't a few. There were more than three. Were there 10,000? Were there 1,000? I think there were so many that when they rode in with their camels of riches and treasures, that they moved into a city that they made such a scene that all of Jerusalem was troubled. So let's not, you know, get religious over the account. Let's look at what the word is telling us, that all of Jerusalem and Herod made such a ruckus because here comes the kings. Here comes the camels. Isaiah prophesies of it. The camels coming in, bringing the treasures, the riches of this earth being brought to him. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. They came with treasures. And they came right into the middle of that city. And they all got troubled because who was bringing such honor and glory and worship to who? Who was bringing such honor and glory and worship to who? So much so that Herod brings all the chief priests together, all the scribes, and he says, okay, you tell me where this is. You give me this prophecy. And the interesting thing about it, let me read a little bit more so I can bring this out. And they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, this is verse 5, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. The thing that I see about this, let me read the next two verses. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Why was Herod asking them? Because he didn't see the star. If he had an army of men and he really wanted to destroy, why couldn't he go and search diligently for the young child? Where was the star? It says, and when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east. But obviously, Herod had to bring them to him, and he had to ask the scribes and the chief priests, and then he had to call the wise men and inquire of them diligently, what time did the star appear? So there you're thinking, now, does he see the star? Because is he just asking, when did it happen? But he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search that I may come. So if he had word that these guys were following the star to the point that he was going to ask them, when did this star appear? He obviously couldn't see it if he was saying, go and search, unless maybe he wanted his army not to have to go out and work so hard. But I feel that he didn't see the star. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. So something supernatural here is happening. There's a star that's a sign for a season, days and years. And it's been prophesied, and it's the moment, and the star is speaking. But it obviously is speaking to those who are searching. It's obviously speaking to those where Jesus says, knock and the door shall be open. Seek and ye shall find. And it's obviously moving and showing them a place. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. You know, when I was preparing and praying about this sermon, I went up on my Instagram, and Toby Mack's Instagram, his Instagram says this, don't ignore the signs you ask God to show you. Speak life. I thought, what a confirmation for me. Don't ignore the signs. I really feel there was a star and it was being ignored. But there were wise men. We could go back to the cliches, wise men still seek him. But their sign was the star speaking. And we are to speak life. And again, can you imagine this noticeable group of wise men coming into a city with riches and treasures and saying, where is he? Why were they even asking when they were following the star? What was speaking? I believe God had a purpose for them asking, because interestingly, there is some Hebrew words or Greek words I want you to get. I mean, there are two words for there came and are come. These wise men, there came. In verse 1, it says, behold, there came wise men from the east. And in verse 2, for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Those two words in Greek. They mean paradigma, not a Greek scholar, But that is the word there came. It means to present, to come near, to approach, to come forth. But a key definition of that word is to make one's public appearance. So those wise men were coming in with their treasures, with all the riches they had, and they were announcing that there is a star and one we will worship, because they were making a public appearance. There came wise men. Why? Because Jesus was making a public appearance. And then in verse 2, it says, Erchamai, I believe is how it's pronounced. Erchamai. It means to come from one place to another. And it's used in persons arriving and returning. And it means to appear and make one's appearance come before the public. Has the same definition. But it also means to come into being, to arise, to come forth, to show itself, to find a place of influence. So here it says, we have seen his star in the east. It's risen. We've come to worship him because there is a public appearance. We've come. He's come. The star has risen. It's showing itself. And it goes on in that Greek word, to be established and become known. The star was speaking. The star was speaking a public appearance. The star was speaking. There was a rising. And somebody had come who was the Son of God. And the star spoke and brought those kings with him. It was a rising and a coming forth, a place of influence being made known. There was a place of influence being made known. It was for a sign. It was for a season. It was a day for days and years. I want to tell you that I believe the Lord showed me three seasons in Jesus' life. Not saying it's limited. I'm saying these are the three seasons he showed me. Season one was his arrival. The star speaks, his birth, the announcement and being made known. So his birth, we talk about, if we went to Luke, we have Mary, we have the angel and coming to her and her saying, be it done unto me according to thy word, and them going to a stable and him being born. We have then the star rising, which is what I'm talking about. That's the announcement. History says he was 2 years old and the kings went to his house. And his announcement and him being made known. So there was his birth and the announcement and him being made known. And then right after this happened with the wise men, there was a dream that God gave Joseph and he sent him to Egypt. And he said, you know, that he's not to return because out of Egypt will come the son. And he wasn't to return from Egypt until Herod died. Herod representing the destruction. And the reason I feel that God is showing that is because Joseph is a shadow where he was just, you know, put down by his brothers, thrown into a pit. But he was lifted up. And what did he do? In the time of famine, he brought absolute overflow to Israel. And what happened is he stood and he said, he forgave. So it's a complete shadow. That's season one. His birth, the announcement of his birth, and his return from Egypt as a statement that he is setting people free. Moses would be another example of that. Another shadow where he's come in and all those hundreds and hundreds of years of bondage where people are meant to be making bricks and working in all their own works and all their own strife. And up he comes and he says, I'm bringing my people to the promised land. Season one, his arrival. Season two was his work. I believe the Mount of Transfiguration reveals him in his season. 2 Peter 1:18 through 20 says, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed to what? as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. And here the Lord is saying that the star, the bright and morning star, the star he set for a sign in season one of his arrival, will rise in his transfiguration and bring to you the day star rising in your hearts. That you will see him as the Son of God, receive him as the Son of God. He is transfigured, died, resurrected, raised from the dead, and you are transfigured in him. Season two is work. Three parts of that. His teaching in the temple as a child, where he sat down in the temple and all the scribes and Pharisees, chief priests came, and they're like, how did he get so wise? And he told his parents, I'm of the work of my Father. His baptism and being recognized and acknowledged with a voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And his works to men, the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God, faith in the Son of God, the name of God, his love manifested, compassion, season two, his work, the transfiguration of the Son. And season three, there are 13 places it refers to star in the book of Revelation. Season three is his return. Revelation 22:16, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. He set a star. There are all the stars he set. He named them all. He knows how many there are. Genesis 1 says he put them all there for seasons, signs, days, and years. And season three is the bright and morning star rising with the rapture of the church, with his return with the church, and his thousand-year reign on the earth. Season three. There is a season one. The star speaks. There is a season two. The star transfigured. There is a season three. The star returns. Matthew 2 says in verse 6, Thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. He put the lights in the heavens to govern the days and the nights. And he did it for seasons and signs and days and years. And here he says that out of Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. You are the least. But for out of thee shall come a governor, one that will govern, just like the day is governed by the sun, the night by the moon and the stars. And that governor, he says, shall rule my people. That Greek word for governor means agaemai, to lead, to go before, to be a leader. For out of thee shall come a leader, a ruler, a commander. And that word governor means to have authority over, a prince, a regal power, a chief, leading as reflects influence, controlling in council, overseer of the church, to consider, deem, account, think, command, but get this part, leader in speech, chief spokesman. Out of these shall come a leader in speech. God said, let there be light. Let there be, let there be. The spoken word of God. Mark chapter 11, have the faith of God, the God kind of faith. Jesus spoke to the fig tree. And he said, if you but have the faith of God, the God kind of faith, and you say to this, it shall be done. And you speak to this, the leader of speech, the leader in speech, the governor, out of you, the least among the princes of Judah, shall come the governor that shall rule my people. Everything speaks of Jesus and his redemption. Everything. You can have unreached people's groups. And the sun is speaking as the star spoke to the wise men. All of nature speaks of Jesus because it was the spoken word of God that brought it to existence. God said, "Let there be light." The light exists because he said it. Everything speaks of Jesus. In the book of Colossians, it says that Jesus is the spoken word of God. It says in John 1 that the light came and that all things came in Colossians. All of creation came through him and by him. All of creation speaks of Jesus. And everything that he created from day and night and stars and NASA. Everything speaks of Jesus and his redemption. They can find planets after planets and galaxies after galaxies and universes. And they could see stars still forming because the living word of God still creates and speaks. Everything speaks of Jesus and his redemption. We have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and we have been catapulted into the kingdom of the Son of God, the Son of Light, the Emmanuel, God speaking. The star speaks. And if everything speaks of Jesus and his does, then everything has been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and catapulted into the kingdom of his Son. So the sign speaks. The sign speaks. At Christmas, we celebrate him, and we celebrate how the sign speaks. What's the sign? The Word of God tells us, Emmanuel, Son of David, Son of God, Prince of Heaven, Jesus, the hope of the world. Acts 3:15 says, Jesus is the Prince of Life, who God has raised from the dead, wherefore we are witnesses. Acts 5:31 says, Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Revelation 1:5 says, And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. There are 11 scriptures in the New Testament. Those are three that I'm showing you of him being prince. There are 11 scriptures in the New Testament that define Satan and demons as princes of this world, prince of the power of the air. And that Satan is prince over the kingdom of the world. But he has been exalted, Jesus, at the right hand to be the prince and savior to give repentance and forgiveness. And Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the Prince of Kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. The sign speaks. John 12, verse 30 through 32. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. This is when he was being baptized, and the voice from heaven came. And he says this, It speaks, Jesus answered and said, The voice came not because of me. He knows who he is. He didn't need the Father's affirmation. He and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one. He said, the voice didn't come for me. It came for you to hear the spoken word. God said, let there be light. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We know by that spoken word that the Son was being raised up in faith because faith is how you please God. His faith to men. Jesus the reason. His faith to men. And Jesus said, the voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Verse 31, now, he said, is the judgment of this world. Those 11 scriptures that defy Satan and his demons as princes of the world, and prince of the power of the air, he says, now is the judgment of this world come. The judgment of the world. Now, in the season of his return, you're going to find another judgment of Satan. But the judgment of the prince of the world came. He said, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now, not in the millennial. Now, he said, this voice came. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Faith exploding in the earth. God speaking in the earth, let there be. My son, I'm well pleased. His faith released. The voice came not because of me, but for your sakes, because now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, verse 32, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I will be lifted up on that cross. I will be lifted up from the tomb. I will rise and I will draw. The Holy Spirit will draw all men unto him. Because the prince of this world is cast out. When Satan took him to the highest pinnacle and said, I'll give you all of this if you do it and just bow to me. If you do it my way and bow to me. No. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus spoke who he was. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I am Lord. I am the Lord thy God. Man shall not live by bread alone. There he's saying, I am the Son of God, the Son of Man. I will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from my mouth. And thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I am the Lord thy God, and I am lifted up by my hands, by my ways, by my spirit, by who I am, and you are cast out. Isaiah 7:14, the sign speaks. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. The sign speaks. The Lord himself is giving us a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Oh, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us, or with us is God. And it is the prophetic name of the Messiah. Only two places is it found. It's in these two verses. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Revelation 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant. This is John and the angel. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. There's a testimony of Jesus, the Lord himself giving a sign, the virgin conceiving, and that testimony in Jesus says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So from the beginning of time, all the prophecies, all the words, everything spoken of God is the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. And he himself is given a sign and prophesied it, that there shall be a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And his name shall be called Emmanuel. There is a sign that speaks even today. Every time we celebrate Christmas, we are saying there is a virgin, and that virgin conceived and bore a son. His name is Emmanuel. And that is the sign the Lord himself has given. And it is the testimony of Jesus. It is the spirit of prophecy. In Isaiah 8:8, it says, and he shall pass through Judah. This Emmanuel, Messiah. And it says that he shall overflow and go over. There is an overflow of Jesus. And it began with the spirit of prophecy in the book of Genesis. When God said, you shall crush Satan's head and the heel will be bruised. And it's speaking of the prophecy of Jesus crushing the power of Satan, casting him out, like I've read here, that he was judged. And he will, you know, in the movie, The Passion of Christ, one of my favorite scenes is in the garden when Jesus stomps on the snake Because that to me is that prophecy being fulfilled. He shall bruise your heel, but you shall crush his head. The seed will crush the authority and the neck of the devil. And this scripture in Isaiah 8:8 says, he shall pass through. He's here and he's resurrected and he sent his Holy Spirit, and he shall overflow and go over. He is overflowing on us. Our cup runneth over of Jesus and his reason and all that he's given, of his blessing, of his abundance, of his prosperity, of who he is, of all he's given. The overflow of the Savior, the overflow of heaven. He shall overflow and go over. He overflowed all through the earth, healing, raising people from the dead. He overflowed from the beginning of time. He overflowed in the ark. He overflowed everywhere. He shall overflow and go over. And then it says in verse 8 again, he shall reach even to the neck. That's where burdens are bound. So he shall pass through he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck where the burdens are bound. Isaiah 10:27 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. He has destroyed the yoke. He didn't just remove it, he crushed it. He overflowed. He went over. He reached even the neck. He destroyed that yoke. And the stretching, verse 8 says, the stretching or spreading out of his wings shall feel the breath of thy land. The whole earth, all of you, all of your life. O Emmanuel. That sign that the Lord gave, a virgin conceiving a son named Emmanuel, has overflowed and gone over. He has reached even the neck and removed burdens and destroyed yokes. And he has stretched and spread out his wings to fill the breadth of the land, the whole earth, all of your life, all of you, everything that pertains to you personally. He perfects that which concerns you. O Emmanuel, God with us. The prophecy reflected of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, being born to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit, verse 5, 4 through 7 rather. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. I want you to understand that the star speaks, the sign speaks, and he has stretched out his wings with a breath of all over the land. The whole earth, all of you, all of your life, the sign speaking, the Holy Spirit moving. Like in Genesis 1, when God said, the Holy Spirit moved. And it says in 1 Corinthians 12, there are diversities. The same Spirit, it is the Spirit of God, and he has gifts, verse 4. He has administrations, verse 5. He has operations, verse 6. And the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. It's given to every man. Gifts, administrations, operations. He has come and breathed his breath of life in our lives. And the Holy Spirit is speaking. Emmanuel, God with us. He has brought the gifts of the Spirit in Acts chapter 2. He sent men. They didn't have to work at it. They didn't need the chaff removed from their life. They didn't need to remove it themselves, is what I mean. They didn't have to work hard. He sent these people to the upper room. He didn't say perfect yourselves in the most holy faith at that moment. He said, go and stay there. Hear his voice. Follow his lead by faith. He set him there. He put him in that room. And what did he do? He poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. And what happened? That sign was speaking. The fire of God wasn't to, it didn't rip up everything in those people. It was a gift, administration, and an operation of the power of the Holy Spirit working in their lives. And he poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. He filled them with himself. Because he gave a prophecy, Jesus, the Spirit of prophecy, he said, I am going to give you a new heart. I'm going to take out that stony heart, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And he said, and I am going to write my word upon your heart. The battle with flesh and spirit is unbelief and faith. And it's receiving and not receiving. Open up your gates that the King of Glory may come in. Open up the gates of your heart. Just open it up. The Holy Spirit has gifts, administrations, and operations that he's given to every man to profit everyone. He is a profitable God. He is an increasing God. His sign speaks, and the star still speaks. Father, I thank you that we have the bright and morning star, that we have the Prince of Peace in our lives, that you have brought us yourself and your glory, that you have set into motion your gifts, your administrations, your operations, that you have spread out your wings in the breadth of the land, the whole earth, all of you is sent out to all of us in all of our lives, for you are God with us, Emmanuel, that your name is above every name, that you have been set as Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Makedesh, Jehovah Nisi, our banner, that you have spread out yourself and drawn us under your wings, and that you have outpoured your spirit into our lives, that we can experience the diversity of gifts, the differences of administrations, and the diversities of operations by your spirit. And I praise you and thank you, Father God, and I declare that anyone who hears this and has not accepted Jesus, that they accept him who has been given, the Son, because he is a sign. And Jesus, you have come and risen in our hearts and brought the light of truth, the word of God, the blessing of God, the salvation of God, the operation and administration and gifts of God. And I pray, Father God, that anyone who hears has not experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, experience the gift and the administration and the operation that you have, Holy Spirit, in their lives, that they can profit in every area as they experience the fullness of who you are. And we give you praise, Father God, for you are with us, and you we receive. In Jesus' name, amen.